Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C. Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker. This is
your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Busy Ball.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Brand.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is the show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records, reveal the addition of rappers that are coming up, get them put on. We needed a platform to fight the mainstream. This is the show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on screen and follow with wizard.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics and download and time. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Buddy, your content is muted, it's everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real review.
Unstoppable, we be revived, our bitch, we represent. All them killers on the mic, and we should love to all your fans.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's UGS for life, dog. Hip-hop AD, representing for the legend. Rapping mumble rappers, so we ain't sitting on the hip. Two-pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's the Murder Master Music Show, free the homie gangster bro. I see these rappers on these streets, I got my job about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it live forever, bitch, we coming hella strong. I see you feeding for the show.
This is Sean Brock with Pen & Pixel Graphics, with Sinister Sounds, with UGS for Life. Murder Master Music Show.
Hi, Sean Brock. It's Sinister from Murder Dome Magazine. Hi, Sean Brock of Pen & Pixel, the legendary owner of Pen & Pixel.
Hi, welcome.
How are you?
Good,
welcome,
man.
Back. Welcome in France.
Yes,
in Paris.
First time.
For the first time, first gallery.
Yep, first gallery.
Yeah,
yep.
First gallery and worldwide in France.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a great city. It's wonderful.
You like the city?
A beautiful city.
Yes, sir. Okay. So, can you tell us about the, as a young man, what was the first time you had the idea of design, of paint, or...
Well, when I was a really young child, I was always drawing and illustrating. And then when I went into high school, I started going into art competitions, and I started to win these art competitions. Mm-hmm. So my parents decided to go ahead and get a tutor for me for art. And then I started to take art very, very serious at a very young age. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Chicago Art Institute.
Yeah.
And from Chicago Art Institute, I transferred to Parsons School of Design. Mm-hmm. And there I was taking photography and graphic design and illustration.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got out, I worked for agencies in New York, advertising agencies in New York. And during that whole time, I started really getting into album covers. I started looking at album covers, and when I would listen to the music, I would look at the cover, and it would tell a story.
Uh-huh.
And I really appreciated that. And I said, well, one day, when I finally get out of this advertising game, I want to start doing something like that. Uh-huh. And eventually, that happened.
Uh-huh. Also, you grew up in Hong Kong, also, and in Brazil.
Yep.
So you have a different perspective. You see the world differently.
Correct.
Only than the USA.
Right.
So it's made you have a different image in your head and your face.
That's correct. Right.
Can I just about that?
Well, growing up overseas, coming to the United States and seeing how people different cultures or colors, they treat people differently. And when I was living overseas, I was the different color.
Huh.
And I know what that's like to be
different.
We'll just put it at that, different. And when I came to the States, I didn't really realize that that happened in the United States, because I'd never really been to America until I was 18. So when I came back, I realized, wow, that's really strange. So in my mind, it's never really sat in that there is a difference between that. So for me, everything is culturally even and neutral. And that's the way I've always approached something. And I think that helped me in this industry especially.
And why did you choose Chicago? It was for the Institute?
Yes, it was one of the
91,
best.
92?
Yeah, it was like, it was 1981.
Yes, sir.
Yep. And it was, in my opinion, it was the best school that I could possibly get into at that time.
You learned a lot?
Oh, it's an amazing school, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was very good.
So you shifted because... You paint with the left hand, and the left hand, we know a lot of people are genius.
Supposedly, yes. So. Yes, it's 14% of the population is left-handed,
yeah.
And yeah. I'm very dominant left-handed. My wife is left-handed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very, everything is left-handed for me. So, but yes, that seemed to work in my favor when it came to design and things like that. I kind of approached things in a very different, mm-hmm. a different approach.
Mm-hmm. And the painter, you said to me, Dali was an inspiration,
yes.
like the watches. Right. So watch us slide like a slime.
Exactly,
like
right. Hyper-realistic.
About the inspiration.
Sure. So with Dali, obviously, he's a very strange guy, but very successful.
Surrealist.
I mean, he would look at things and twist things and look at things in a very different way, a lot of different colors, mm-hmm. a lot of different contrast. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated that sort of demented sort of look at things, very outlandish. And I think I took that outlandish look and applied it to the album covers as well.
Yeah. It's a fantastic effect. In fact, you can see it in Magritte, you know, or Jerome Bosch.
That's true.
Enfer the Dawn, or the details.
The details.
All the details. It was one of the perspective of Pen Pixel. It's the details.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about the details? About
so when I was putting these pieces together at the very beginning, obviously it was just learning Photoshop. So we talked before about Photoshop 1 being very unforgiving. Mm-hmm. So if you would make a mistake in Photoshop, yeah. that was the end of the cover. You start again.
Photoshop 1.
Yeah. There were no layers. The machines were extremely slow. So when we'd scan something in, the file would be too big. We didn't realize it. We'd go through all of the artwork. And at the very end of the artwork, the machine would crash.
The computer can crash.
Done. Start again. So we would make notes. Mm-hmm. And I would leave the notes for my brother. And then I would go to bed. My brother would pick up the notes. And he would continue on. And then if he crashed it, he would leave me notes, and we figure these things out by doing that back and forth and back and forth. And we did this for several months until we finally figured out the right combination mm-hmm. to work with these computers and work at the size that we needed to do. So then we realized that you can do multiple layers, and you can start putting in these little tiny details. Mm-hmm. Every single hair of your head, every single bling, every single light creep where the light comes around your face, mm-hmm. we would put all of that in. And we realized how to do that. And that was like one of those elements that caused Pen and Pixel to really be noticed in the art world. And especially when the stuff got blown up to poster size. Mm-hmm. When you start looking at this stuff large, then you start realizing all the details.
Yeah.
But as a human, when you look at something, it has to be complete in order for you to understand that it's one piece.
Mm-hmm.
If something's off, the perspective is off, the eye is not right, mm-hmm. the hair is not in, your eye will tell you that's incorrect. It's not right. Mm-hmm. And with us, we wanted to make sure that all the details were there. So when you looked at it, it was humorous or shocking, but it was still believable.
Mm-hmm. You were the first to use Photoshop like this.
Yes.
Effects in the game.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You started with a lot of, before hip-hop, you started with Christian rock or country music. And
right.
Especially a group, King Sweets.
King Sweet. Right.
So King Sweets, there are a lot of snakes into the cover.
Right.
It reminds me of The Shining.
That's right.
Yeah, of Cyclops.
Right. You got to put animals in a cover. If you have a rap album
Cyclops
cover, you got to put animals in it. So, you have to have something in there that causes people to look at it and say, wow, that is really unusual or strange. So with King Sweet is a rock and roll band, and they were from Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
and they somehow contacted us through another record company,
mm-hmm.
and they asked us, can you do this? And of course, at Pen and Pixel, we always say, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We may not know how to do it,
mm-hmm.
but by the time you get there, we'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So we would always say yes to people. We're like, yes, we can do this, unless it was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
That we would say no.
Hmm.
It was not that we weren't capable of doing it. It was morally in our heart.
Yeah.
We cannot show that. And we had a line that you could not cross.
Hmm.
So we had to do that several times at Pen and Pixel, and we did. But most of the time, we said, yes, we can do it.
The line was crossed with a communal element. Hit him where it hurt with a famous dog or was crazy.
You crazy. Crazy
the pain
dog.
Of your life.
Crazy dog.
Yeah.
We had some.
Tell us about this one.
So yeah. with Criminal Element, they insisted on bringing. Mm. There was a very interesting hip hop group because it was actually much more gangsta rap,
mm-hmm.
and in the gang, yes, hardcore gangsta rap. Mm. So not only did they have dogs mm. that they would fight. But they also had racehorses.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see a racehorse on the cover.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's actually their racehorse.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a rap gangsta band with a professional racehorse
mm-hmm.
that they would race.
Mm-hmm.
They also had fighting dogs.
Mm-hmm.
The train represents something that they cannot be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, we want to make sure that we can't be stopped. Mm-hmm. We want something that's so powerful that it can't be stopped. And I'm like, well, a train can't be stopped. Mm-hmm. So let's take the dog, put him on the train. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, we want to have my racehorse. We want to have my 64 Impala. Mm-hmm. And we want to have the guys. I was like, okay, so you bring the dog in, mm-hmm. and we'll go ahead and shoot the dog. Mm-hmm. Little did I understand that that dog was a beast from hell. And they pulled that dog out in this metal cage, mm-hmm. and they told all of us to get up on a ladder. And I didn't understand why. And then they pulled out the treadmill, mm-hmm. and they tied this dog to the treadmill, and a guy got up on the ladder with a gun. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why does the guy have a gun? He says, because if he breaks that treadmill, you'll have to shoot him.
Yeah.
So he's like, go down and get in front of him and take some pictures. Mm. And this dog came at me, literally trying to kill me. And I think I shot maybe 6 or 7 pictures of this dog before it was, the treadmill actually broke. There were pieces flying off the treadmill. And the guy pulled me back up. He goes, go, go, go. And he came down, he packed the dog, threw the dog in, threw the dog back in the pickup truck and took off.
Mm. But that cover was crazy too.
The crazy, yeah. And that was a crazy cover. That was the most scared I've ever been. I really thought I was going to die.
One thing about Pen & Pixel, a lot of people think it's only bling bling stuff, but you have different elements, like the communal element. You have a deep element, like you know, the train in the underground railroad of communal element.
Right.
You have the slave train.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
And also, it's the same for the big ballers in Miami. With Mr. Murray.
Right, right.
Demetrius Murray.
Pineapple.
Yeah,
yes,
the pineapple.
Right.
It was a sign, but it was like subliminal. In Pen & Pixel, you have the details, even in this one.
That's right.
Like the end of 3-6, or Tila, Peace of Mind, or
right.
Mind of Mystical. So you have the detail of spiritual thing in every cover we have,
that's
even
right.
if it's dark.
Right. Yeah. If there's always something elemental in there. Mm-hmm. There's always mm-hmm. something in there, either spiritual, like you
yeah,
said,
yeah.
or representative of the past,
yeah.
whether it reflected to slavery or the Confederacy mm-hmm. or the struggle mm-hmm. that these guys were going through.
It's right? a down south. It's very,
very
deep.
Yeah, well, there's a deep
yeah.
history there, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
right. And there's a history that a lot of people, as you know, in the American Civil War,
mm-hmm.
a
yeah.
lot of people died fighting
yeah.
for both for slavery and against it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it caused the largest loss of life
mm-hmm.
that we'd ever seen. In our country,
yeah, yeah,
brother against brother, fighting against each other
yeah,
for this
yeah,
for this
yeah.
reason. Luckily, right? Luckily, it came out the correct way. But those people in the South, they understand that very, very closely.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Ben B said one time, in the South, we connected to the earth, and in the East, it's different. It's more streets. You know, it's
right.
maybe why Stravaus or the son of Stravaus or the son of. Of the down south have a soul in it, you know.
Right.
Well, you're perfect with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think the people in the South are, when they're from a different state. So you could be from Louisiana, you could be from Florida, you
yeah.
could be from Tennessee. Those people, even though they're from different states, they're not contrasting against each other. They're not conflicting against
mm-hmm.
each other.
It's a unity.
It's a unity.
Yeah.
Correct. So they look at each other and they say, "It's all Gulf Coast rap. It's all
mm.
Southern rap." Where if you go up in New York or you go to Los Angeles or you go to Oakland, it's back and forth against each other. And
mm-hmm.
you're like, well, I thought if you're West Coast, you're all West Coast. If you're East Coast, you're all East Coast. It's not as cohesive
mm-hmm.
as it is in the South.
Mm-hmm.
In the South, when they unified together, they unified very well. They came up with their own sound
mm-hmm.
and they marketed themselves like Master P, Cash
oh, sure.
Money, Suave House,
Big Boy. Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys were the big ones.
Hypnotized
Minds.
Mm-hmm.
They're massive. They
mm-hmm.
grew up. They're
mm-hmm.
smart businessmen,
mm-hmm.
and they knew what they were doing.
Tony Draper, like a
Tony Draper's very smart guy.
Tony
One
Draper,
of the first guys.
He was the first to have the previous covers in the inset.
That's right.
So he got an influence on Cash Money, on No Limit, and Hypnotized Minds.
That's right. And when you saw him come up, he was a genius. He's a smart guy. We've
yeah.
known him since the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And he understood business from the
yeah.
very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And when he learned about marketing,
mm-hmm.
he's like, well, if we're selling a CD to you,
mm-hmm.
why not advertise the next few products
yeah.
that are coming out? And he did. And he's like, well, I want to do this CD cover now. And then the next one, and the next one. And I was not understanding that. And he's like, so I can advertise.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's a very smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
So we did. And we helped him out very much. And he helped us out tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Coming Out Hard was the first big cover that we did
yeah.
with special effects on it
yeah.
that people questioned. And they were like, well, there is no convertible Lexus.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't understand that mm-hmm. we had created the convertible Lexus, yeah. took a piece of a Mustang out, put the guys in there, and popped the whole thing on there. Was it a great, great cover? It wasn't a great cover, but it was the best cover that we could do mm-hmm. at the time. Photoshop One.
Yeah.
Right.
You did also Willie D.
That's right.
Willie D.
Going out like a soldier.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
And it's inspired a lot of people too. So you started with Rap-A-Lot.
Right.
Also
started with Rap-A-Lot. That's
started
right.
Started with G Prince.
Yep.
And also The Ghetto My Hood. The Ghetto My Hood is the first cover official of hip hop in your history.
Right.
And one member was a member of the Criminal Element also. That Lewis, Ice Water Slaughter.
Right.
You made
a
cover too.
That's right. We did a couple of covers for
him. So can you tell us about this one, The Ghetto My Hood, Trinity Garden Cartel?
That was an interesting cover. Yeah. I mean, again, it was one of the very, 92? Very beginning covers. Yeah. So, I mean, we're learning by mistakes. We're not learning from successes. Mm-hmm. So every time we would make a mistake, again, we'd start again. Mm-hmm. So something like that cover, it was repeated maybe 6 or 7 times before we actually got it right. So it took forever to do. It was a learning curve, but it also opened up our eyes mm-hmm. and our minds to what could be possible. Mm-hmm. And that moved us on to Willie D, moved us on to a whole bunch of other elements that we said. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing about the Willie D album is the Willie D, the front cover, this is all professionally shot in a mm-hmm. professional studio, large format photography, great photography, drum scanned, top of the line scanning. The back of the cover, the back of the long box, mm-hmm. where we have the Capitol building burning, that's actually what got most people mm-hmm. aggravated. Because mm-hmm. they're like, how can you burn the Capitol building? And in America, land of the free, mm-hmm. you can do whatever you wish. However, there's going to be consequences. Mm-hmm. You're going to get publicity good or publicity bad. In the rap game, any publicity is good. Mm-hmm. And we learned that fast from that album cover as well. So mm-hmm. that was also a door opener. And that's what caused people to start coming to Rap-A-Lot and say, hey, I want you to do my cover, mm-hmm. but I don't want to sign with your record label.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, James Smith is like, well, this is a record company. This is not a graphic design firm.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried to work something out with James Smith and said, listen, we can design the covers and we can give you a cut. And then this, he's like, no. He goes, we're a record company. I can't do that. It's not a deal. So my brother and I took a look at it. We saw how many people were asking for the covers. And we said, oh, you know what? We got 45 people asking for covers. Let's go ahead and try this.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out and we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought all the equipment. We worked on a table the size of this, maybe a little bit larger,
hmm.
and we had no idea what we're doing, and started like that, and that's how it all began. But we didn't give up, and I guess that's the big message: mm-hmm. is we just never gave up. We just continued and continued and continued.
Yeah.
You know.
And on Don't Blame on the Music with Trinity Garden Cartel, you have problems with HPD because you put the faces of cops.
Correct. Yeah, and that was a very interesting cover because we had hired a professional photographer. Mm-hmm. And we said, listen, we need some police officers mm-hmm. for this shot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, not a problem at all. So he went out and he photographed these police officers. And the photographs were very clear, and you could tell that the police mm-hmm. officers were looking in the camera.
Mm-hmm.
They were clean. You knew that obviously the police officers knew they were being photographed mm-hmm. because the pictures were taken from here to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the police officer smiling in the camera, the reflection mm-hmm. of the photographer is in his mirror. You know he's there.
Mm-hmm.
When we put out the album, we thought that we had clearance mm-hmm. from the police department to put those officers in there.
Mm-hmm.
However, we did not. But the Houston Police Department didn't sue us.
Mm-hmm.
It was the officers that sued us. So the police department told them, you're not allowed to be on covers.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't have posed for those pictures. We sent the pictures to the police department, and they were like, uh-oh, mm-hmm. you have to defend yourself. So we got into a lawsuit with those guys, ended up settling out the whole thing. It was a mess. But it's all done. There were a lot of lawsuits with Pen and Pixel, but mm-hmm. we lived in Houston, Texas, lawsuit capital of the world. You can sue anybody in America for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we learned how to work that whole thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So from there on, we had to have copyright release on everybody that was in the pictures. So.
And you played even some cops into the cover, like 22 Life Confessions,
right?
Like Pump Suspects,
correct?
Guilty Proven Innocent, or like 22 Life Up for Parole,
Little Kiki,
yeah. You got a lot of cops also
right.
into the group from the steady mobbing also.
Right. You saw all that. So I learned really quickly that I needed a police officer.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would use myself or other staff members.
Yeah, yeah.
So most of the police that you'll see in those shots were other staff members of Pentapixel. Mm-hmm. We had complete police outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the photo studio. So we would need a police officer in a certain position. We'd say, hey, Johnny, go out there, get on your cop suit.
Yeah.
He'd stand out there, shoot a picture, we're done. Mm-hmm. You know?
You haven't had a problem with H-Town Police with the L Black Robin Hood at the end of the office of Pentapixel.
That was very interesting.
Can you tell us about that?
So, and that's a very rare
it's a
cover.
Previous cover.
Yes, right.
Never released.
So when they came to us, he
it
wanted.
It was about Murder Inc.
That's right. Murder Inc. That's correct. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to us and he's like, I want to have. He actually came up with the concept.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I want to have the reflection of the victim in a bullet after I fire the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. I never thought of that. It's a great idea. I mean, this is a pen and pixel type idea.
Yeah.
I was like, you're good, man. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we got him in the studio, took pictures. Then I went and I actually took a .45 bullet,
mm-hmm.
close up, shot it. Then I took the guy's face,
mm-hmm.
did a special effect to round it out into the guy's face, put it on there, and put out the CD.
But which the problem, was you.
Yes.
It was you on the cover.
The CD, however. Yeah, as a bullet. The CD... one of the first songs, I think it was F the Cops. And the rest of the songs were no better. It was Kill the Cops, Something the Cops, Something the Cops. And I didn't know it.
Because
I just did the covers. I handed the layout to somebody else. They did all the layout. Well, the police came down, the Houston Police Department, and said, this album cover and this album is inciting violence to the police. You have to take it off. And because they came to us that way, we did. It wasn't a legal lawsuit. It was like, did you see what's on this? Have you heard the lyrics? And I did not. And then I listened to it. My brother listened to it. And we're like, you're right. This is completely wrong. So we took it down. And then they got into the big thing with the police officers. And it was a mess. But Pen and Pixel had stepped out of it at that point. We voluntarily withdrew it from distribution. And we told them, we're not going to distribute anymore for you. So.
Did they say at the same time, with like the L, they see Crime Boss. It's the same story.
It was tapes. But it's reversed around, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's in jail.
It was more humorous.
Exactly,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and Crime Boss's lyrics were not that directed at actually murdering police officers, right? So.
So you have the same problem with, in fact, you was approached by Master P, by 3H. So 3H, you did the cover of Desk of Me. But the previous cover was the ice cream truck.
Right, blowing
up. Ice cream
up.
Man truck explode and his body. And, can you tell us about this one?
Sure. So Trey 8 comes to Pen and Pixel.
Yeah, rest in peace, Trey 8.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a nice guy. He's a little guy. He's a skinny guy, but he's funny. He's really full of energy. He's like, yeah, I've got this idea for this cover, and I want to have an ice cream truck. And I was like, oh, okay. I have no idea. I'm doing 8 covers a week now, working 17 hours a day.
You have two buildings at this time?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
When Trey was there, we had the full setup going. I was doing most of the covers for Cash Money and for a Big Boy and Big Time, and they all required a great deal.
Mr. Russell Washington.
Yeah, they required a lot of attention. So I was doing so many covers, this guy comes in and he says, I want an ice cream truck blowing up, and I want the guy to be disintegrating out of the ice cream truck. And I was like, well, we don't have any ice cream trucks, but we'll figure it out because at Pentapixel, yes. So I got a school bus, took a picture of a school bus, made it into an ice cream truck.
How many pics you take from the...
Oh, man. Well,
so many.
Yeah, for the guys blowing up, most of those guys were staff members.
So for the ice cream truck?
For the ice cream truck, right. So we got all the body doubles and then just used faces from other guys. Mm-hmm. But we used body doubles to, and then we did some anatomy because I had to know how the bones would break and the inside of the skeleton would be. Mm-hmm. So we had to do all kinds of stuff like that to make it happen.
Even the face was
The face ripping.
Destroyed.
Yeah, ripping face. So we did all that stuff. It was great. I thought it was wonderful. I was like, great. The album goes out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what, 3-4 weeks later, we get a phone call. And this guy says he's Master P on the phone. And I was like, oh, I've heard of that guy. And it was. And he's like, I need to come down and talk to you because we have a problem. And I was like, oh, we have a problem. So I called Terry Janis, who was our sales manager at the time, and she's a very tall lady.
Does Barbara Pescrito at this time?
No. Say again?
Barbara Pescrito? No, No Limit?
No.
No? Okay.
And so she meets Master P when he comes in, and she's the first one to meet him, and he has his whole posse with him. So all of his bodyguards, everybody comes in, and he's not a small guy.
Yeah.
Master P is a big guy. His bodyguards are bigger.
For sure.
So he comes in, and he's like, "We need to talk to you." And you know, he speaks kind of low. He's like, "Yeah, we got a problem." You know what I'm saying? So they go into the VIP room and they sit down, and he explains the whole thing, and he shows them the cover, and she was just as amazed as I was. So she's like, "Hold on one second." She goes out, she tells me, I come in, I meet him, she explains the whole thing. I'm like, I had no idea what was going on there. And he's like, "I totally understand that. I understand." He goes, "So you do all this stuff?" And you're like, "Yeah, we this is what we
do." He sees the golden plaques, so he changes his mind.
Yeah, the whole place was covered with gold and platinum plaques, and posters lined the walls. And he walked in, he's like, "This is not a fly-by-night business. This is a pretty good-sized business."
He thought it was a small company.
He did. He thought it was just a one- or two-guy operation. Yeah. But it's not, you know? So he said, "What can you do this, and can you do this?"
"Can it work for me?"
Exactly. "And I want those deadlines met." And I was like, "That's not a problem." So we did, and we did 12 covers the first day. So, and that started that relationship, and the relationship just continued to grow. So, and he trusted us, and we trusted him. And don't get me wrong, everybody thinks that everything that Pen and Pixel did was perfect. And we discussed before, it's not. There were times that we would do something, we would send it to him, and he's like, "You totally missed it. That's completely wrong. Please do it again." We're like, "Okay." He's our customer, right? One of our best customers. Of course, you go do it again. So we would start all over again. And there were many times that we ended up having to do weekends and redo complete covers, miss the concept completely. But you live and learn, right?
And you have different price, like the price of the Millennium or the first price.
Right.
So different clients, Cash Money and No Limit, have the Millennium price.
Correct.
Or Hypnotizements too.
Yes. Yeah. So there's different classifications at Pen and Pixel. So you can start off at $400, $500 for a cover, and you can go up to $6,000 for a cover. Yes, it all depends on how many layers and how complicated the cover is going to be. At Pen and Pixel, we don't discriminate on if you're a big label or a small label. It doesn't matter. If you want this many layers in your cover and you want it at that level, this is what the cost is going to be. You can really fluctuate. So there's a couple of covers out there that people think are really, really expensive. They're not. They were $1,000. They were $1,500. They weren't $6,000. So, and we would always honor that price no matter who it was.
Yeah. And also, when you do these covers, you have a mind. A lot of people saw that Pen and Pixel at first have dark image, or it was like glamorous violence or something, and you realize it was real,
right?
And you say in your mind, "We would go to the Bling Bling or some stuff more quiet,"
right?
Because we see like the cover of Ghetto Boys, that Good, Bad, and Ugly. We see the Uncle Sam, or Indo G. We see the Uncle Sam, or something like that. So you decide to. It was like a ghost train in the ghetto,
like tame them down a bit, right? Exactly. Well, there were several catalysts for that. So we realized, after being in business for a couple of years, that our clients were actually dying. They were getting killed, and what they were talking about in their music was actually happening. And they were dying, and we were like, "Wow, this is completely wrong. I cannot believe that this is happening, and it's happening so many times." So we started to refocus them. We're like, instead of talking about somebody else, or instead of mentioning someone that's going to antagonize you, how about we talk about maybe girls or jewelry or nice cars or money? And how about we throw all that together? And we just started to do that slowly but surely. And then all of a sudden, everybody wanted that look. They wanted the bling bling. They wanted the cars, the ladies. They wanted the dogs, the lions, the tigers, the giraffes, whatever we could put on there. And they loved it. And it became sort of their dream and something that they aspired to. And they wanted to go after it. And they did. Some of them did. Not all. But some of them actually did that.
One of the of the cover who made you worldwide, Snoop Dogg.
Yes.
With the Soul to the Game. So can you tell us about this one, Snoop Dogg?
So Snoop Dogg obviously got signed off of Death Row, yes, and he came from Death Row onto No Limit. Right. And once you become a No Limit product, because you, when you're in business, it becomes a product, right? You have to have that signature look. And when Snoop Dogg made that transition from West Coast over here, mm-hmm, he became under the umbrella of the No Limit Soldiers. Mm-hmm. And as a consequence, he's going to look like,
yeah,
everything else that No Limit does. Of course, to the next level, yeah, with Snoop Dogg, because Master P told me, he goes, do everything you possibly can. Let's make it happen. Let's get it going. So they did. And we made it happen. We pushed it to the limit, and we did what we possibly could do. So the origination was that Snoop came up, and again, Snoop's an A-list client. He only has so much time. Mm-hmm. And we only had so much time with him. So we needed him seated in a chair. He did not have anything in his hand. It was a standard chair. We laid him down. We shot him maybe 8 pictures. That's it. Then he's gone. So maybe 10 minutes with Snoop. Mm-hmm. He's finished up, gone. That's all the pictures I have. That's all I can work with. We put it back together. We go in. We change out the chair. Put rings on. Watches. His jewelry, he has the cane. We put the cane in his hand, and everything else was put in the background.
Hmm. Even the Chambord, yeah, that's all French.
We looked for something super opulent, and luckily here in France, you have a lot of opulence, mm-hmm, here in France.
Chateau de la Loire. Oh,
such beautiful stuff. Mm-hmm. So when I would go for bling, mm-hmm, I would go to my stock photography, mm-hmm, and I would pull a lot of things from France that you guys have here, mm-hmm, because it's so beautiful, it's so unique. And it was great for the backgrounds, like for E40. I mean, even some of Master P's stuff. I mean, some of that stuff is from France. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Like Little Italy also, on top, yes, of the world.
On top of the world.
The same French cast.
Right.
One thing also, it was about the call you have with a BG. And he won diamonds, better like Master P. Right. So the world Bling Bling coming out.
Right.
And, and now in France, right, we have the Bling Bling world with Sarkozy back in the day. And can you tell us about this conversation with BG?
So the conversation actually was with Birdman, Brian Williams, his boss.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for BG's album.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian was talking to me, and he's like, yeah, man. He goes, I want you to, you know, get those diamonds blinging. And I was like, oh, like bling bling? He's like, yeah, man, bling bling. And that's the first time I actually ever heard that term. And I was like, okay, well, bling bling from now on is something that we'll say when we're making the jewels sparkle. Mm-hmm. And that was it. That was the end of that conversation. I never thought anything more of it. Never even thought about the word anymore until all of a sudden you started having these albums come out and guys started going bling bling. And I was like, oh, well, that's a word I heard just a couple of months ago, and now it's becoming something that everybody's using. And mm-hmm, I was like, and to this day, now it's in the Webster's Dictionary. I'm not going to say that it was me. I'm not going to say that it was Brian, but that was the first time that I had ever heard that and actually use that in context to describe the blinging of the watches and, mm-hmm, and the jewelry. So,
also, there are a lot of unreleased stuff, like No Limit, I think it's 20, maybe 15 or 20 covers, unreleased, like Short Circuit.
Right.
Like, but just crazy covers.
Right.
Yeah. Like a QB, Gary, right, Ingredients, right, or something like that. So
there are a number of, I mean, there's
Chang Dogs,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I mean, out of 19,180, mm-hmm, covers, not all of them got, mm-hmm, released.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of those covers got stopped halfway. Some of those covers got, like I said before, I would finish those covers. I would send them to Master P, or I'd send them to Brian or Ronald Williams, and they're like, "Dude, mm-hmm, you totally missed it. That's totally wrong." Mm-hmm. So those covers are in archive, but they've never been released. They've never even been seen. Mm-hmm. There are some juvenile covers. I was looking the other day in my archive, and I looked at one of those covers, and even I was like, oh, that's just terrible. I don't know what I was thinking. Mm. But it's an archive. It'll never be seen. So you make mistakes sometimes, but at least when you're dealing with a team, like we had at Pentapixel, it's not going to be released. It's going to be stopped before it becomes released. Mm. So thank God for the team. Mm. Yep.
Can you tell us about your show, Big Bear?
Big Bear. Oh, this is
Doing the one. It's crazy stuff because at the time when it released, it was not made me successful as sales.
Right.
But now it's a symbol of Pen & Pixel for the new generation who discover Pen & Pixel.
Right.
So can you tell us about this cover and how you made it and the bears?
Yeah.
You taken from the studio?
Yes. Yes. Still the bears? No. Those animals are too big. Yes.
Fruits are real.
Fruits are real. The fish is real. Fishes are real. Mm. I remember the fish to this day.
Yeah.
So Big Bear comes in, and I'm going to say he's 6 foot eight,
like, and a big bear.
Maybe 300 some pounds. Huge man. Mm. But he comes in, and he's a real smiling guy, and he's humorous. He's got a good sense of humor, and he's like, "This is what I'm kind of thinking." And I was like, "Well, you're huge. You look like a bear." He's like, "Yeah, man. How about we do like the bear sitting down at the table?" And I was like, "Well, if we're going to do that, let's throw down what bears eat. What do bears eat? Well, berries and nuts and fish." He's like, "Oh, it's a great idea. So we'll go and do that." So we started sketching everything out. And he's like, "Put them in Versace robes." And I was like, "Okay." So we go and we buy a Versace robe. Mm-hmm. Of course, we didn't take the tags off. We put him in. We shoot the pictures. We take the robe off carefully and we bring it back. And then we shoot everything else. The hand for the bear is actually from Hollywood. We actually rented that hand, and we brought that up. We put the nails on it, shot it in the positions that we needed it, packaged it back up, sent it back down to Hollywood. So that was an actual real bear hand that we actually used. And then the honey, it was just the next step. We're like, well,
that was the letters.
Yeah, the letters. I mean, it's, you know, I started doing the letters, and I was like, wow, you know, bears like honey, so we'll do honey dripping down off that. And one thing fell into the next, and all of a sudden it became this cover that when we finished it, we were all laughing, you know? And that happened a lot at Pen & Pixel. You would finish these covers, and the client was happy, we were laughing, but we never knew that this cover would be such an iconic piece maybe 20 years later after Pen & Pixel, right?
And some clients was hard, like Boo or Reality.
Right.
They want more and more, changing sometimes the cover.
That's right.
The previous cover was a different watch on a Boo from Concert Camp.
And some of the changes were massive. And some of the changes were complete redos. But again, the relationship, in my opinion, when you're in business, is more important than the short term. So we would make these changes, and don't get me wrong, in some situations we have to charge them again because it's a complete redo. He signed off on the sketch and now changes everything. It's redo time. So it happens, but that's business, right?
Can you tell us about Lull Scene Frustrated by Death? It's a crazy cover.
Oh, this is a good one. Yeah, So Little Sin, you've interviewed him before.
Yeah.
Great guy. Just a great guy. And he's very...
They have no interview since 20 years.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. he's got some stuff coming out now, from what I've heard. There might be a re-release.
Very talented Texas.
Yes. And he's very animated, and he's a very professional.
Mm-hmm.
So he came in, and he's like, well, it's all about me coming back from the grave, or the grave grabbing me and pulling me back in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, how about this? How about... Because we had a skeleton at Pen & Pixel.
Mm-hmm.
So... We made a sketch. I said, how about you being grabbed and pulled back in to the grave with a gravestone there? Sketched it all out. He's like, okay, how are we going to do this? So I was like, well, I need you to lay down on the ground. Mm-hmm. And then I get on my ladder, the famous Pen & Pixel ladder where I shoot a lot of things. And he laid on the ground and he did these animated poses. And I was like, move this there, move that there. Shot a couple of pictures, went into Photoshop, brought all the hands around him, all the shadows. Everything else, made the ground break out, put some roses down, and of course the graveyard was the graveyard that was behind us at Pen & Pixel.
Yeah.
Used the grave that was there, and the cover came out. It turned out wonderful.
Yeah. It was like the same with the cover of the rapper who has the graveyard behind Pen & Pixel office.
Right.
It's
Murder Inc. Let's Die Together, that one. We used the grave on that one as well.
Oh, yeah, Murder Inc. Yep. Tell us about this one. Yes, with the manager.
I think Cy Williams was the manager.
Mm-hmm.
And he passed. He passed away, and they wanted to do something to honor him.
Mm-hmm.
So is a girl and a guy, and they were rappers together, and it was
crazy from the
No Limit. That's right.
After Three or Four Boys.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And they were again amazingly professional in the studio. We sketched out what we were going to do. They're like, that's what we want to do. Yeah. We laid them out on the ground. You saw the rest of the panels on that CD. and they have the makeup on, is very intense looking, and we shot them together. We went in and put them in there. Every single hair was put back in. The headstone was changed a little bit. The text was brought out like it was busting out of the ground. Again, another first for Pen and Pixel to do that type of text. It wasn't the bling bling, but it was something completely different. And it gave that three dimension to it. It's a shocking image, but it conveyed the image. And that's what we wanted to do with that one. And I think we did it well.
The letters in Pen and Pixel is like a secret formula, like Coca-Cola.
That's correct.
So you have a perspective. A lot of people are inspired by you, but they never can't have this type of stuff. Even a Funkified Graphic, for example.
Right. But right. Yeah.
It's not the case now.
Yeah.
But you have the secret formula.
Right. So with a type, people will look at that and they'll talk online and they'll say, oh, it's a filter. It's this, it's that. It's not filters. It's actually done by hand. Mm-hmm. The type on a Pen and Pixel cover will actually take us almost longer than the complete cover will. Mm-hmm. Because we go in and every one of those diamonds and all of that perspective, all of the edges, all of the blings are done by hand in Photoshop, but it takes forever to do because the text is different on every single cover. Mm-hmm. It's not a filter. And people will continue to say that it is. It is not, and that's why it looks the way it does. It looks like it's done by hand. It's because it's done by hand, right? So.
Yes, independent for each cover. I think about also Abnormal Zone, the Tyrant with a C-Rank. Can you tell us about this one?
That cover to me to this day is actually one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So again, it's subtle. You don't see it right away.
It was from Clarksdale, Georgia.
Right.
He's dead now.
So it's
tragic because sometimes you describe something would happen really.
Reality sometimes is portrayed in the covers,
exactly.
And it actually happens, right?
Exactly.
So this is real. These are real gangsters. Mm-hmm. These guys are not. Mm-hmm. These are not joking around. These guys are serious, and they're playing the game serious. Mm-hmm. And in America, as you know, we all have guns. Mm-hmm. And if you have a problem, you sometimes sort it out that way. And that's the unfortunate part. And it's something that I didn't realize until I came to the States that this really was happening. And it was shocking for both my brother and I because we'd never been around that type of violence before. Mm-hmm. And we never saw people settle a problem mm-hmm. with a gun. When we were kids, we would settle it with our fists, right? Mm-hmm. These guys don't settle it that way. They settle it with a gun, and there's no coming back from that. So with that cover in particular, it was a very unusual cover because mm-hmm. when we started sketching it out, those ideas came up with a syringe. Mm-hmm. So he was having issues with the whole drug thing. That was a big thing there. The drugs were taking your life. They were causing you to be a different person. They were entrapping you. So we said, listen, hey, how about having a syringe and having you inside the syringe trying to get out? And the syringe, when it comes across your face, you can see death mm-hmm. as a skull through mm-hmm. your face. It's a very subtle cover, and a lot of people don't see it until they look at it closely. Yeah. And then they're like, whoa, wait a minute. So there's another cover as well, Moby Dick.
Yeah, with the guns.
There's the guns.
Yeah.
The Moby Dick cover actually
is
one of the most complicated covers that mm-hmm. I think I've ever done. It took so much energy to do that cover mm-hmm. because each one of the piano keys mm-hmm. is a gun. So you have a 45, and then I think it's a 41, a 45, a 41, and I think there's 60 keys. Each one of those pictures was a separate picture. And then I had to put his fingers on it to press down on the keys. When you first see the cover, you're like, it's a guy playing a piano. It's not. He's pressing down guns. Right? He's playing that whole thing. And that guy, again, very talented guy. Yep.
Everything is in the details.
Like, everything's in the details. Yeah. Yep.
One of the cover who amazed you by the idea of the cover, like a Cyclops or Shizen Death or...
Right.
One cover you said you were amazed by the idea.
Yeah, some of these clients would come in. They had some ideas. One of those, actually, that I think transcends is C-Loke.
Oh,
He's got the C-Loke, the one of him where he's on the ground.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And his soul is coming out, and his friends all participated. Mm. He came in with that idea. And he's like, listen, he goes, there's a lot of violence on the streets. I want to portray that in this shot. And it was actually an early cover for Pen and Pixel.
Right. But so Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Exactly C-Loke
right.
Records.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we had the street. He knew the street that we wanted. He had the street signs. His friends all came into the studio. Mm-hmm. We shot everything in the studio. And these guys, again, they're very animated. So they can pretend that they're a character for that shot. We did that. We put that whole thing together. We ghosted his spirit after he was shot. You know, he's laying there in his blood. We ghosted his spirit coming up. And that cover to this day, I still look at that with a sunset in the background. And I'm like, it's so real on what really happens there. And that the people looking at the incident that happened, it's a very powerful cover. And it really I think, spoke to me when I did it. Mm. It was a great idea on his part.
Talking about the skulls, you did the skull very graphic, like a Life by a Wolf of 26 Mafia.
Right.
Or Skull the Grey. You take skull too?
Yes, we had a full skeleton, yeah. And we had a full skull. So we would shoot multiple pictures of the skull.
Mm. These wicked streets of Skull the Grey.
Right, yeah. Right. And we took the eyes and did all kinds of strange stuff with that. TRU, we did the same skull that was in TRU. Mm. Same pen and pixel skull we would use many, many, many times in many covers. So when we found out that we needed like skeletons that much, or even the electric chairs for Hot Boys, we built those electric chairs at Pen and Pixel. We actually built the whole thing at Pen and Pixel and used those. We didn't use that for any other covers because that was Hot Boys. So for the rest of like 7 or 8 years, we had that electric chair sitting in the studio off to the side. People would come into the studio and they'd see that electric chair and they're like, is that the electric chair that's in Hot Boys? We're like, yeah. They're like, oh, can I sit in it? And I was like, of course you can sit in it, but I can't put it on the cover for you, right? So we would use a lot of things like that at Pen and Pixel over and over again in different contexts. But with Photoshop, we were able to manipulate them enough where people were like, oh, that's a different thing. I was like, yes.
The cover of 36 Mafia were very surrealist. So like the rub of the end, the back cover of the end, very spiritual time of world domination.
Right.
What was your working with DJ Paul and Juicy G?
Oh, those guys. Well, we also had a TV show at Pen and Pixel as well, right?
Yeah. Juicy G wasn't it?
Yeah. And he's just a great guy. I mean, he's smart. Again, when you look at the success of hip hop and rappers that are very successful in business, they're businessmen first. Then they're the rap talent. They know what they're doing. They look at the long term. And these guys were just amazing at that. So they understood what they were dealing with. They understood how to deal with us as a business, just like any other business. We're providing a service. And they learned how to work with us in that regard. We made contacts for them with other radio stations and record companies, with larger record companies. We did music videos for them. We did the whole gamut for them. And it was amazing working with them. Some of the concepts that they would come out with for the covers were, I mean, I couldn't touch it. I was like, that's awesome. So let's go ahead and sketch that up and let's get it done. They had already had it in their mind. And that's the type of people that they were. They were very detail-oriented. Mm. And you can tell from the music. The music sounds incredibly well-produced, right?
Also, when you have the idea, I see you have an idea very, very quick. It's your character. It's you see one thing and you see immediately what was going on.
Right.
No slow.
No slow. I don't like working
slow. It's your character.
Slow. Yeah.
And you can sleep. You can not sleep for 17 hours.
Correct.
Or something.
Yeah.
And that was the key of the success with Aaron, because you can have some really big covers, big mini covers in 2 days.
That's correct. Yeah.
It's crazy.
When we first started, and a lot of people don't understand that at the very beginning.
You had 25 people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, at the end of it.
Aaron and you was a...
It was a big company at the end. But in the very beginning, when my brother and I first started out, we learned many, many things about how to put these covers together very quickly. And they weren't these high special effect covers. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks at Pen and Pixel, all these high special effect covers. That's not the case. We were putting covers together, 25 covers up on one sheet. Simple covers. Picture of one guy, guitar.
Yeah.
Latino covers. Lady singing with a microphone. That's it. Those are the covers that actually gave us enough money to take the next step, because we invested every single penny we had back into the company for the first 3 years.
Yeah.
Every single penny we made. My brother and I, no money. We got paid nothing. But we had staff members. We had facilities. We had printing presses. Everything went back into the company. Every single penny. And that's one of the keys to success, is to reinvest back in that and not take it right away. And a lot of people, when they start businesses, they start making a couple thousand, $20,000, $30,000, they start putting it in their pocket. It's a big mistake. You put it back in the company. You try to grow it like a tree, right? If the tree can grow, the tree can give you fruit. If you don't, if you don't let that tree grow, it's never going to give you fruit. And we live by that. By growing that tree, when the tree's big, you can pick as many oranges as you want, right? And the tree will continue to give you oranges. If the tree is baby and you pick off the two oranges, it's dead. Uh-huh. So you just keep piling the money back into the company. And it blew up, and that's what happened. Uh-huh. And before you know it, we got 27 people, we got 10,000 square feet, and doing $16 million in covers. It just was crazy.
You started with simple covers like Prince John D.C., I think of Rock a Lot, or even Carino, Danger Zone, which is a more simple cover. But can you tell us about the cover of Carino? It was Stories from the Black Book on Mars. It's a crazy cover.
Right,
it's 93.
Yeah, he gave me one picture.
Yeah.
So he had this one picture of him with this arch and some concrete around it. And he's like, well, this is the picture I have. And I was like, Reno, what are you doing? He's like, that's all I got. He's like, oh, okay, so let's go ahead and work with that. So we started breaking it apart. We put the space background in the background with some stars. And, you know, he carries a book with him, right?
Yeah.
So his book of lyrics.
His black book.
His black book.
Mm.
And that's the book that he writes all of the songs in. Many rappers that I've seen that have been very successful, they carry a book with them at all times. Because when they get that inspiration, there is no time to think.
He was very smart.
They got to write it down immediately. There is, and they'll be talking with their buddies. They'll be rapping with their buddies. They'll sit around. They'll write it down. Right then. The other guy who does that, who's famous, Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
He carries a book with him everywhere he goes. He's a very serious rapper, and that's how he's succeeded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What happened with at the end of AK Studio? So, Unbreakables, one under the name AK Studio, T-Rock, Rock Solid, and also Loud FMOS.
Right.
Or Clubhouse Click. Can you tell us about
this
case of AK Studio, of Gangsta Nipped,
right.
Also the return of Psychopath?
So AKA Studios actually comprised of four Pen & Pixel employees.
Mm-hmm.
They were two of my art directors, and one of the layout artists, and one of the video guys. And they put together a studio right next to Pen & Pixel. So Pen & Pixel's facility was here. We had another studio here, a very small studio. They moved into that small studio, and they took over Pen & Pixel's clients at the very end.
Mm.
We didn't want to drop the clients on the face. We knew that we were going down. We knew that the business was decreasing.
Mm-hmm.
But our clients were paramount. We couldn't drop the clients. So we transferred that over to AKA Studios, to employees that we knew could handle that. And they ran that operation until they could no longer run it. And that's what happened. I think it lasted like 4 or 5 years or something like that. And then it was done.
It was because after the September 11th, they scared to take the plane.
Right.
So it ended the business.
It devastated our business. Mm-hmm. So I was not even at Pen & Pixel when that happened. I was out in Oregon, and we saw it on the news, and it took me a week to get back to Pen & Pixel, and a week in our business is deadly. It'll kill the business.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was out in Houston trying to run the business as well, but I was gone. The business had stopped because no one could get on the airplane to fly out to do the photo shoots or meet with us. It terminated. When you take a financial hit that's that devastating and you have that many staff members and that much overhead, it's very difficult to recover. We thought that we'd be able to recover. We thought that it'd be a temporary thing. It was not a temporary thing. Business slowly declined. And then the other thing, this thing, Napster, online downloading.
And the end of the city too.
That was it. You no longer required to have an album cover to put a CD into a store.
Yeah.
It was the end. So that was the end of Pen & Pixel. There's no longer a core requirement to have that type of marketing and that type of investment in marketing when you could simply press a button and download it. And the producers knew it. So the producers came to us and they said, we're not seeing a return on our money anymore. It's time for us to move to the next stage and start talking about downloading and what have you. And that was the end.
In the Source, Vibe, and XXL, you have a lot of covers of the Cash Money, No Limit, and all that. But us in Murder Dog Magazine, we have a lot of covers underground Pen & Pixel. Can you tell us about the relationship with Black Dog Bone?
He did business with us for probably 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And great guy.
He was
guy,
very smart.
Very smart guy.
Him too.
And his wife.
He grew up
his
in Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
Sri Lanka, like you was
that's
in
right.
Asia.
That's right.
So he had a bit different perspective, like a shaman.
Right, right.
Shamanic stuff.
And he had a good relationship with most of the interviews that he did and the layout of the magazine.
Mary Dance?
Yeah. Yeah, Mary, that's
Mary
right.
Mary Dance,
that's
yes.
right.
His wife.
Yeah, his wife, yep. Mm. And she's great too. But his the way he would interview people or talk with them,
it's different.
It's totally different, right? And he was not intimidated about going after top line, right? And asking the right questions.
He loved everyone who was on stage.
He did. And he did a great job. And he was good to work with. We did a lot of work with him, and it was a good relationship.
But now you have Smartface Media.
That's correct.
Tell us about Smartface Media.
So Smartface Media is...
So we have our big clients, BJ. We can reverse Penpixel still.
That's correct. Yeah, we have this. We have the same capabilities as Penpixel. Obviously, now I have a little bit more time, and I'm doing the work myself. I have more time to spend on the covers. I don't do as many covers because the demand is down.
Yeah.
Smartface Media is actually a complete conglomerate of services that we provide. We do video services, we do web services, design services, logos. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of still.
And shows too.
Yeah, exactly.
Merchandise.
Yeah, merchandise.
Yeah.
We do a lot of trade show stuff.
Yeah.
And the reason.
And gallery now.
Yes, exactly. And galleries. That's
galleries
right.
In Europe.
Correct, right. Mm-hmm. And we have a gallery rep, Espen. He's run three shows so far. He's done a fantastic job.
In Norway, in Copenhagen.
That's right. In Copenhagen and Oslo.
And now in Paris.
That's right. And now we have this one that
and
just
maybe
finished off.
In London.
We're hoping.
Or Germany.
We
have to be worldwide.
We are. And that's what we're hoping for. We're hoping to bring this stuff out and show people again now that there's a sort of resurgence and have people appreciate it and maybe bring some warmth back to when they were listening to the music and now they're looking at the pictures and the CD covers and they're like, wow, I can feel it. I can feel it in my heart.
In Europe, we have a different perspective because we have the respect of the tradition, the respect of the old. So in America, maybe some people would say it's played out, but us, we see the quality.
And that is
the quality, and that's why you have galleries.
Yeah. That's right.
It's culture.
And it's culture, right. And we were chatting actually yesterday about that French culture and how you guys perceive and are much more open to new ways of thinking. And obviously, it's in the culture of how you guys grew up here.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
it's 400 or 500 years old. You look at that and you're like, these people are progressive, but they also understand, they also understand the culture of longevity. And going back and taking a look and saying, wow, that was effective. And that was monumental at that time. And you guys know how to do it. And it was a great honor to come here and to do this.
It's an honor for us too.
And to have you and everyone here, it's just been a warm experience. And I would love to come back again. It'd be great. Mm. Maybe London next time. Like I said, maybe Germany. So,
Europe culture have an inspiration on you, on your fact of thinking, of mind.
Yeah, I grew up again in Southeast Asia, but I didn't go to American schools, so I went to European schools.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very different sort of way.
Yeah.
So I understood, and I studied French history, I studied British history, I studied American history, Chinese history, German history. So I studied all those things when I was in high school, and that all came back to me when I started putting these things together, and I understood these things started to merge, and I knew that I could kind of push on that a little bit. And I think it came out in the artwork.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about Burn Man, one of the last cover of Penpixel.
Oh, so
Burn Man. It's like the same like When the Smoke Clears of 3-6 with a...
Right, with divided head or the bowl for point blank.
Exactly.
Bowl, right. So Birdman, very interesting story behind that cover. So Brian Williams, a good friend of mine.
Yep.
So he calls me up and he's like...
A baby.
Yeah.
Of Cash Money Records.
Baby of Cash Money Records, Brian Williams, And Ronald Slim, right? So he calls me up and he's like, I need you to fly out and do a photo shoot for me. I was like, okay. I think he was in L.A. at the time. So get into a car, go to the airport, airplane, limousine to his hotel, arrive at the hotel suite, go up there, bodyguard, just wait a second, let me get him out. He comes out, his family is there, his great family, and he comes out and he's like, what are you doing here? And I was like, photo shoot today. He's like, oh, no, no. Oh, he forgot. I'll tell you what, let's do it some other time. So back in the car, back on the plane, fly back to Houston. He gets back to New Orleans and he calls me up and he's like, I need you to come out and shoot a piece of jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, a piece of jewelry? I was like, can't you just shoot a piece of jewelry or send it to me and I'll shoot it and send it back? He's like, no, it's very, very expensive. And I don't trust anyone else. And I was like, okay. Back in a car, on an airplane, fly to New Orleans. I arrive at his house. He takes out this piece of jewelry, which is the actual bird, which is made of platinum and diamonds. I think it's $400,000 piece of jewelry.
Mm.
And he lays it down. I take 3 or 4 pictures. That was it. I come back. And he said, do what you do. And I was like, okay, let's make this the new millennial looking cover. So he took the bird, his face, and the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. Even like Master P, you take a mirror version, Croix, and The Last Dawn.
That's right, on The Last Dawn. And it's a relatively simple cover. A lot of people don't quite understand that. Yeah, it's a pretty simple
Europe
cover.
Europe culture, too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I don't know, it was one of the cathedrals you have here, but it was something very opulent.
Yeah.
And I think it's only like 7 or 8 layers, mm-hmm. and that's it. And then encrusted the hand with jewels. And that was the photo shoot where his ring fell off at the photo shoot, and the diamond popped out. Yep. Okay. Go ahead. You get downstairs? Got it. Okay.
Juvenile, can you tell us about like a pizza of 40 degrees?
400 degrees, yes. Mm-hmm. So that was that cover was an interesting cover as well. So, again, he comes to us with this idea. He's like, I want to be really hot. I want to do all this other sort of stuff. I was like, oh, okay. So we sketch it out, right? And we go to the studio, and we put a couple lights on him, his hand, the cash, the watch, the rings on that, all down at the very bottom. That was only one ring. Mm-hmm. So we had to duplicate that up like 300 times in Photoshop and put all those rings there and then light them on fire in Photoshop, mm-hmm. the fire dropping in Photoshop. Take a picture, put the whole thing together. It looked wonderful. Again, I did not know that it would become such an iconic album, and it did. And it was one of the best sellers that Pen and Pixel had ever had.
It reminds me some history, like you know, the Pink Floyd album with all the beds,
right?
And that's it's a right. real story. Right. Before Photoshop, they have to put all the beds in real.
That's right.
It's
That's
crazy.
Right. Crazy.
It's
right?
crazy.
and some of the covers that inspired me, I was talking about that earlier today. One of the covers that was really monumental for me as a youngster was Supertramp. Mm-hmm. Breakfast in America,
yeah.
where the lady is the Statue of Liberty. She's mm-hmm. a waitress holding up a milkshake.
Mm-hmm.
That was one shot. And I learned how that was done. And that was way before Photoshop. But I would look at that album cover, and I was looking at the perspective. I was looking at how it was shot. I was like, it's a beautiful cover. Mm-hmm. And when you sat there and looked at that cover and were listening to the music, that harmony, you know, when you're seeing and you're looking and you're reading all the lyrics, that to me, I think, was the minute that I realized I would love to do this for a living. Mm-hmm. And Photoshop allowed me to do it.
Yeah.
It was just that minute. I knew it right away.
You put a Statue of Liberty on for No Limit East. But it was never released.
Right.
Previous covers of No Limit East cost like Short Circuit. Short Circuit Gone Owl is one of the for me the best No Limit cover, but it was not released. Like so, but it was crazy. Short Circuit,
right?
The tongues and all that.
Right.
Gone AWOL.
Yeah. and he had changed the logo several times.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So P started off with the gold tank with all the diamonds,
mm.
and then we went to like the Bradley fighting vehicle with not a lot of diamonds, like Game Face, the one that was used on Game Face.
Yeah.
And then he modified it again from what I've seen, the last one. So he's changed his logo several times. But you have to understand that Master P has maybe 10 companies, so he's got all these entities out there that are working for him. So I can understand how he's going to modify this. So he knows what he's doing. He's a genius when it comes to a business. So, you know, there was a lot of things there that he would try. Again, in business, you try. Either you succeed or you don't succeed, but you need to move on to the next one.
Yeah.
And Master P, he knew how to do it.
Yeah. DJ Paul said one time, we have to put the eggs in different place.
That's right.
For make the business.
Right.
Right.
If something fails, you don't want everything there at one time. Yeah. Right.
If you have your 3 favorite albums you made.
Oh, that's an interesting one. It's one of these, for sure. This guy. I love this guy. I like.
Are you in contact with him?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yes, I still have contact with him.
He loves the mountains.
he's
Big Bear?
He's still Big Bear, you know. I want to actually see if I can do something with him, maybe merchandising or something like that. That mm-hmm. would be wonderful because his cover has such prominence.
Mm.
I want to see if maybe we can figure something out. So I'll be chatting with him a little bit later and see what he thinks. Sex Fiends.
Oh, yeah, Sex Fiends.
And unfortunately, that was one of the files that was corrupted. We could not retrieve that file, but Sex Fiends was one of my favorite covers.
Sex Fiends was Brist, because the first one was more simple.
Right,
92,
exactly.
92.
92, right.
And the 30, the
right.
third for you?
Right, yeah, I think ESG. like either Sail in the South or
Always on the Funk.
Oceans of Funk, correct. Yeah. One of the they're simple covers, but when you just look at them, you're like, it's just got that humor, you know. Mm-hmm. You're just like, wow, that's funny. And I wanted the first one is Oceans of Funk. I wanted the second one to play off that with the boats and the guys in the car and everything else. And I think it worked out pretty well.
You did cover some movies also. So can you tell us about this? You was approached by a studio?
Right. Yeah. The studios. Movies,
because
right.
your style is very graphic. I think about Cheetah, Peace of Mind with the eye and the hand inset or in Mystical. You have the same hand.
Right.
You have details and all that. Even the same letters.
Right. Where's a puzzle face. Yeah. Well, movie studios, working with a movie studio is very different than obviously working with a record company. They have extremely tight deadlines. They have different parameters. The artwork has to be not just in a CD format, but it has to be long, has to be tall, has to be big, and you have to sign off all your rights on it. So, because they need to reproduce it, has to be on video format. Mm. There's a whole bunch of other parameters when you're dealing with Universal Records or Virgin, or you're dealing with Sony or DreamWorks or any of those. It's a whole nother ball game. It's a ball game that we really didn't understand until we started working with them. But once we got through the first project, which was Chris Rock, once the Chris Rock project went through and it happened so fast, the studios aren't used to having artwork turned around that quickly. And we did it so quickly, and Chris was very, very happy with the artwork. And then to reformat it, that happened very, very fast as well. And they're not used to that. And I think our prices were decent. We signed everything that we needed to sign, and we got it done. Then they started transferring things like Cher. And that was another massive project.
HBO. Destiny's Child.
Correct. Destiny's Child.
The Superdome.
Undisputed with Ving Rhames. Those types of covers started coming out. We did another Western cover with Randy Travis and a couple other Western guys. And then Cash Money, of course, started popping out. Videos. Mm-hmm. Then we did about it. With No Limit, and then there were a whole bunch of other little ones like that came out. But the big ones, when you're dealing with the big studios, is a whole different ballgame. But it worked out well for us, I think.
Mm-hmm. You take a lot of Superdome into the covers, like Kilo G, Bloody City, Unspoken Vandals, or something like that.
We're trying to use a piece of their neighborhood. And their city, and then use that.
You took a lot of pics of Superdome.
Yes, yes. So when we would go to these cities, like when we would go to New Orleans to do a photo shoot, we would spend the time to take those stock images because we knew that eventually we were going to use them. And if we were privileged enough to go down into some of the hoods, we would also shoot those streets as well.
Yeah.
But only when we'd make those special trips down there, and only when we had the client with us. Obviously, it's a very dangerous neighborhood, so they would bring us down. We'd set everything up. Shoot a whole bunch of pictures, we'd be good to go for the next year.
It's crazy because sometimes it describes in the cover what would happen with Katrina.
Yeah, that Katrina was devastating. And I can tell you that I actually saw...
It was the biggest market.
It was huge. I saw Cash Money, one of Cash Money's houses that I'd been to before. I actually saw that after Katrina hit, and they had a guy go with a video camera through the house. And I can tell you, this house was 9,000 square feet. It was opulent. It was beautiful. Very, very expensive. And then they brought a camera crew maybe 2 weeks after it hit, completely devastated. I could not believe it was the same house. Absolutely trashed. There was nothing left. Yep. So that was a very, very bad storm.
Yep. Yeah. It's happened the same case with your two buildings. It was devastating.
Devastating. Shocking. It changed everything, everything in America changed at that time. Mm-hmm. So, and we can still see that now, even in your country, obviously. Yeah.
You reverse now.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's just a different way of living now. We have to be more prudent. We have to be more intelligent.
Focused
on how we live. So, is it going to change us forever? I don't know. I hope not,
Yeah. Have you a last message to say to people who start into painting or graphism or to be smart or say original?
Right. Yeah. So there's a lot of graphic designers out there.
As a hand.
Yeah. I mean, if you want something, if you want something bad enough, then you should stick with it and you should go at it and you need to study. And a lot of people want to do it nowadays. They want to have it very quickly, and it doesn't happen that way. It never will. and it never has. You've got to put in the time to perfect your skill and do it very, very well. In fact, what my mother used to say is do it better than anyone else. Do one thing and do it better than anyone else.
Mm.
And the money, she used to say this to me, the money will come. And I was like, well, what does that mean?
Mm.
And my brother, amazing manager, and that's exactly what we did. And all of a sudden, the money started to come. And then there was a time when you didn't put it back into Pen and Pixel. Then you started putting it in your pocket, a little by little. But the way that Pen and Pixel ran, and people don't understand this, is we would bonus our employees every month. So it wasn't, oh, at end of 6 months, I'm going to give you this. No, no, no. If you finish five of those covers in this month, I'm going to give you $2,000. For every cover you finish, I'll give you $500. So we would go by Pen and Pixel on the weekend on Sunday, and there would be 10 cars parked out front of Pen and Pixel. Mm. All of the graphic designers were in there working their brains out. So we had kids that were working for us that were 24 years old making $75,000 a year in 1998, 99.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money.
The golden era of Pen and Pixel.
The golden era.
The golden era in 88, in the hip hop, and you got the golden era in Pen and Pixel.
For Pen and Pixel. Yeah, 98, 99. Crazy, yes, crazy years.
Yes, sir.
But that's how Pentapixel was run. So yeah, we'd bring the money in, we'd share the money.
Yeah.
You know?
You put history into the hip-hop game, and a lot of people don't imagine how it was important for hip-hop and the down-south music. And it's crazy. For me, you're very smart, you're intelligent in a lot of things you do. And you must be recognized for what you did.
It when I was doing it, and when we had the team doing it, yeah, we never realized that. We were so focused. Exactly, that's exactly right. You're working on something so much, and then when you finally finish it and you stand back, we never really turned around and took a look at the company and said, "Wow, we did some really cool stuff. We had a good time doing it.
Yeah.
We laughed. We had a ball. Everybody got along well. The clients were happy, and some of them did extremely well." And at the end of it, coming back 15, 20 years afterwards and seeing that it's coming back was as much a shock to me as it was to anyone.
Mm.
And I'm glad to see it. I mean, it's great. Mm. It's wonderful.
And I think a good thing is to be human with the people, to be charisma, and you have this, and that's why you have success, I think.
I think so. I mean, I never judge anybody. Mm. They come in, they're my friends.
Yeah. You're open-minded.
Open-minded. There's nothing, no barrier. Like I said, there's no barrier. Yeah. There was never a barrier. And I think when those guys came into our company, of course, a lot of them realized when they walked in and they saw me or they saw my brother, they're like, white guys? These are white guys. And we're like, what? Who? Where? What white guy?
Mm.
And then they realized, starting talking with us, they're like, oh, these guys are cool.
Mm.
And I was like, yeah, of course we're cool. We're going to be your best buddies.
Professional.
We're professional. We're working for you. You're our boss. What you say goes. That's why you hired us. And we're going to make sure that you have the best chance possible to succeed. And we did. If we heard something that came through Pen and Pixel, and the guy put that cassette in or CD in, and we listened to it, and we're like, whoa, 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 this is good. We take it, we make a phone call. And we play it over the radio, we're like, check this out. Next phone call, somebody important. And those deals would hook up, and my brother would sew these deals together, and that's the only thing we asked, is that those guys be loyal to us. Mm-hmm. So if they moved on to Universal, or moved on to Virgin, or Geffen, or any of those other major labels, that they did the artwork with us. And they said yes, and that's how it worked. And that's how it worked with Cash Money, that's how it worked with No Limit, that's how it worked with 3-6 Mafia, Hypnotized Minds.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it worked with all of them. They got signed by majors, but they kept the artwork with Pen and Pixel. And that's all we asked, and it worked out well.
Yes, each one, teach one, which one.
That's right.
Very thankful for your song.
All right, thank you so much. It was appreciated. Thank you. Thanks for coming. thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Yes, sir.